Nice.
On the line this afternoon is Denise Brennan, the Work Less Party candidate in Vancouver Hastings. We'll talk to her about her party and why she's running in this election. A world traveler, she has degrees in communications and digital media and has an avid interest in labor policy and globalization. Please welcome to the commentary.ca Denise Brennan. Good afternoon, Ms. Brennan.
Hi, Joe.
Talk to me about the Work Less Party. We had your colleague Lisa Volding on yesterday, and she said it was probably best to ask you about how the party came about and what the party stands for.
Well, the party has basically come to be around a couple of other grassroots organizations, primarily Artists Against War. The guy that started with the idea is a guy named Conrad Schmidt, and basically he started feeling that he was a bit of a slave to his job and that he wasn't having enough time to devote to the community-style projects that he wanted to have the time for, and so he sort of reassessed what it was that he was doing with his time and what it was that where it was all of his money was going. And he realized how expensive it was for him to run his car and that more or less the amount of money that he was making on his fifth day of work was entirely going to fund a vehicle, which he basically only needed because he had to work 5 days a week. So he got rid of his car and realized, first of all, the tremendous environmental impact that vehicles have. That's sort of been a pet project of many of the groups that are attached to our group, alternative transportation, and just the freedom of not having a car and not being tied down to, first of all, that large expense, and second of all, that sort of environmentally detrimental mode of transportation allowed him to work a whole lot less. So he went down to 4 days, and currently he's not working at a job. He's doing activism and political stuff full time. So that was basically the genesis. That happened about a year and a half ago.
And so certain policies that you advocate for within the party are what?
Basically, it's a movement in support of a reduction of the work week to a 32-hour work week, so one day or in 1 8-hour day less than it is currently legislated. And the perspective behind that has a couple of elements to it. First of all, the commitment that we're making as a society to a consumption and production model is very detrimental both to our own health and to our environments and to our communities. So the idea of slowing down production, slowing down consumption, having a bit less money but needing to spend it on being more aware on what we're spending it on, is definitely a part of it. Additionally, our work lives, the way that we interact with our work lives, impacts so profoundly on the rest of our lives. Somewhere in the neighborhood of 16% of all strain on the healthcare system is work and job-related stress, directly related to those two stresses from work and overworking. So it does tax our healthcare system. And this is where it starts touching into the idea that there's not enough money to go around, that there's not enough money to fund health programs or Medicare, there's not enough money to fund children's daycare. There's lots of money to go around. It's just assessing where we can change our habits and lessen the strain on our economy for things that aren't good for us.
Where are the other parties? And I guess by virtue of that question, why create your own party? I guess the other parties have not address these concerns that you all have?
Well, the Work Less Party has a very specific orientation. I like to think of it as a group of people who are realizing that politics at the moment is sort of a discussion about rearranging the deck chairs on the Titanic. What we're doing with economic growth and the perpetuation of economic growth is really not helping us at all, and we're the only party that it has a hard line that we're not for continued economic growth. We're for individual growth, we're for community growth, but the idea of capitalistic or economic growth as being a positive future for us is not viable as far as we're concerned. So that's a slight difference. The Green Party is for responsible growth. The NDP is definitely for economic growth. And additionally to that, I feel that the Work Less Party sort of highlights a bit of a difference between those two parties. I mean, traditionally the NDP has been more of a labor movement type of party, and the Green Party has been more of an environmental movement type of party. The Work Less Party really brings those two ideas together and discusses how an industrial society impacts its environment and how inextricably linked those two elements are.
Now, obviously, you have little in common with the BC Liberal government.
First of all, I think that mentality is a bit flawed. I mean, we live in a democracy, supposedly we live in a democracy. Hopefully over this vote, if people educate themselves on the STV, we will have less of these kinds of discussions, like are we taking away votes. We each have an individual choice on what we want represented in government, and I find what happens a lot of time is we make a negative vote, like we vote for what we're willing to settle for, and we try and vote people out as opposed to voting people in. So there's definitely that dynamic. I think the space that the Workless Party occupies is a space where people who are disenfranchised with politics or who haven't necessarily found the thing they want to vote for will get out and vote. Our movement isn't specifically about getting votes. It's not. We haven't been motivated at all by sort of a vote for us attitude. It's been more about raising awareness. So I believe that the people that will vote for us, it's not like they're going to be choosing between us and the NDP. They're choosing us because they understand our message and they're making a vote for that message. So I don't think we really fit into the vote-splitting category.
How have you done, though, in raising awareness? Have people been receptive of your message?
Absolutely. The response to our message has been really impressive and very heartwarming. We've been able to participate in several all-candidates debates, fewer than we would have liked to, as many of the all-candidates debates are actually three-candidate debates between the three major parties. But we have been able to speak at a lot of things. Get Your Vote On has been very supportive, letting us speak, and I've been to, like most of us have gone to at least one of our ridings, all-candidates debates. I did the Vancouver Status of Women debate on last Saturday. So we have been able to get out there on the debate side. One thing that we are noticing is that they're really under-attended, the all-candidates debates. We've been making a lot more progress in the stuff that we do sort of by habit, so we're very community-embedded kind of organization. So we've been going to house parties and Save the Cobb House street party, and we've been working with Concerned Citizens Against Highway Expansion, and we've been doing all of the events that we usually do. So part of my involvement with the Workless Party, to go back to your first question, is I was really aching to be able to participate and actually be part of something and not have an explicit end goal. Like, yes, there's an election on May 17th, but we're not going to stop, and we're also not going to wait for that date. And that's been what we've been doing so far, is just really participating. And people are very receptive to our message, because the two things that we really address are such fundamental parts of everyone's lives, the amount of hours that we put into work and the environment in which we live. Those are, I mean, they're inescapable elements, whether you're employed or unemployed, whether you work too much or not enough, whether you, live in BC or you live in Guatemala, you know, the environment and your labor conditions are the two most profound impacts on your life.
What happens on May 18th? Does the party continue into the next election?
Absolutely.
Go ahead. Did I interrupt you?
We already have other stuff planned. On May 28th, we have another masquerade party. It'll be our second one, and that will be... We do a lot of work with other groups, so we're hoping that No One Is Illegal will have a table there, and Greenpeace, and Artists Against War. We do a lot of events to bring different sort of parts of the community together.
What about this idea that working less defeats productivity?
Well, first of all, I don't know how much you work yourself, but I find that whenever I get over my threshold for work, which I believe for most people should be around 4 days a week, once you get past that threshold, you're no longer productive. Like, you waste a lot of time because you're not, first of all, interested in it anymore. Second of all, you're less energetic. You have less time to be able to reflect. It creates a lot of possibly the potential for hard work, but not necessarily the potential for smart work. So that's definitely a part of it. I noticed last week, actually, I took a half day off because I wasn't feeling very well, and I had the most productive morning because I knew I had only a certain amount of time to accomplish stuff in. So there's that. On the other side, productivity, when you're talking about productivity, one of our motivations, as I mentioned, is the idea of slowing down, of producing less, like physical stuff. I don't mean intellectual stuff, but actual smaller amount of production of things that are wasteful and not sustainable. So it would be great if we could lower our production in widget plants, for example, you know, produce less plastic, produce less SUVs would be great, you know, scale back. The idea that the healthy economy is the be-all and end-all to a happy life is just not, it just doesn't have the trickle-down effect that you would hope that it would have, you know. I don't remember the last time the economy being really healthy made me extra happy on that day. You know, it's little things, it's things in our daily lives, and not some overarching budget that really enriches our lives.
It's probably easier to get one of your candidates from the Work Less Party elected than having to change the consumerism, the materialism of a society. That's probably a bigger challenge, isn't it?
Well, they go sort of hand in hand. I mean, it's all about perception. So our perception of what makes us happy and what we need and what we want is in many cases very different from what we actually need and want to make us happy. So it's basically just changing people's perceptions. I'd say just changing people's perceptions is probably the hardest thing to do. But I think if we did get elected, it would be indicative of a change in perception already. So one being harder than the other, I'm not sure. I think people, I have a lot of faith in people, and I think that people are definitely realizing and feeling the effects that an industrial society and now a technological society, feeling the effects that it has on our lives. And we're not going to have so much of a choice. We try and stay away from being doomsdayers, but just as a basic example, this year we accepted the Kyoto Protocol, and which is a promise to reduce our toxic emissions and industrial pollution by 6%. Conversely to that, most scientists are saying that if we don't reduce our toxic emissions and industrial pollution by 60%, that we don't have a great chance of surviving the century. So we're verging on a state of emergency in some ways, environmental emergency, and we can either make some changes now that ease us into it and that make our lives more whole, or eventually we won't have a choice. We will have to make drastic change. So basically we're trying to encourage people to participate in voluntary simplicity and refocus on what's really important to them, because it's important to everyone whether we acknowledge it or not.
So talk to me about what motivated you to run. Was it because you so believed in the Work Less Party's philosophy?
I became interested in the Work Less Party at a Media Democracy Day. I have a background in social networking and how it affects political and social movements. And so I was at Media Democracy Day at the library, and I met Conrad, and I really liked his description of the project, and I really liked the idea of looking at how our labor issues and how labor affects an industrialized society or technological society. So I just started talking around them. Like, I went to a couple of meetings, and the feeling in the group, first of all, we're all very kind of grassroots mobilizers in a lot of ways, and there were a lot of commonalities in vision between us. We all see the same opportunities and all the same challenges. The reason why I think as a group we chose the political venue, I guess, and personally why I chose it, is because I've become, over the last several years, very disenfranchised with the political system, and as much as I did not want to vote, I really didn't feel in good conscience giving my vote to anyone, because I feel the voting system, the electoral system, is very flawed, and that my voice wouldn't be represented anyways. So me getting into politics was really me making a commitment to walk the talk and to become involved in participatory democracy and get people into it, get people into the idea of voting and into the idea of understanding how their political system works. So it's been really educational for me, and I hope for people that have come into contact with us. Additionally, it's fun. Like, we have a lot of fun. We hang out and we do crazy actions and we get out in the streets and we drink lots of beer and we hang out at my house, and it's the way politics, I think, started in this country. I hope that's the way it is. I like to imagine our forefathers hanging around having a beer at the pub and deciding how the country should be run. I think that's a much more social model than doing it, you know, with a PowerPoint presentation, for example.
I have this image of Sir John A. sitting around with a beer mug in his hand.
Yeah, it's perfect. It's a beautiful image.
Talk to me, finally, Lisa. Excuse me, I called you Lisa.
No problem.
Screwed up. It's Denise.
Yes.
Denise Brennan. She's the Work Less Party candidate in Vancouver, Vancouver Hastings.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long day. STV, you're in favor of STV. Why?
Well, I don't think we need much more evidence that the first-past-the-post system is not a very accurate way to represent a diversity of voices in Vancouver. I'm not originally from BC, and I chose to live in BC partly because of the large amount of people I know from here who are all very active and socially conscious and community-oriented and have a very broad diversity of opinions, and a 77 out of 79 seat Liberal government in this province doesn't make sense to me with the amount of people that I meet here. And, yeah, I mean, that was a very small percentage of the population that voted that government in. So basically, our individual voices are not being very well represented by the style of democracy that we're practicing right now. One thing I think that we get sort of tied up in the hegemony of is that we're supposed to be evolving. The idea is that we're evolving and we're learning how to do things more efficiently and better, and it's trial and error. So the idea that we wouldn't ever need to change our electoral system is sort of a silly one, and when you can identify that the current one isn't working in an ideal way, why not try something else? STV to me is a very interesting possibility. It gives a lot more opportunity for a smaller group such as ours, and for, dare I say it, such a smaller group as the Green Party, for example, who absolutely should have seats in the legislature. That to me, it's baffling that there isn't at least one seat with a Green in it because of the amount of support. And from talking to them, they know their stuff. They would be a good influence. And it just would give more of an opportunity for the larger parties to be a little more answerable. But, you know, the main reason why I was immediately interested in STV is because the two major parties aren't talking about it at all. Which effectively is the, you know, turkeys would never vote for Thanksgiving dinner phenomenon. They know it's the end of big party politics, which is not desirable for them at all. So is STV the absolute end? Absolutely not. I believe in evolution and in democratic evolution as well. Is it a better choice than what we have now? 100%. Absolutely.
And people you talk to, they seem to like it?
Yeah. They're finding, I've been talking quite a bit to the Citizens Assembly folks lately, and they said that I believe the figure was 3-1 when people actually learn about STV. The figure is 3-1 in favor. Of course, the challenge to that is getting people to understand what it is and to know what it is, because unfortunately both the mainstream media and many of the pundits have been saying, oh, it's far too complicated, you'll never understand it, which to me is extremely condescending. It's not that complicated a process. There's lots of good information on figuring out how it works. What we've had a lot of success with is doing mock elections, so getting people to cast their vote for pretend candidates and then counting it out with them afterwards, and it's really neat to see the light go on for people, have people go like, oh, okay, I understand how that works. So the mathematics is a bit complicated, but, you know, it is just counting in the long run. And I think it's a very necessary step, so people really need to get educated on it. There's the Citizens Assembly website is a great place to go. They've got a really cool little animation that is very easy to follow. And for sure, we just need to get people to know. And for me, because I'm such a freak on participative democracy, for me, if you want the STV, then vote for it. If you don't want it, then vote no on it. But not knowing that there's a referendum going on and not understanding what the implications are it means that we're not doing our job in the process. It means politicians are not doing their job in the process.
Denise, thanks so much for joining us today. And good luck to you on your campaign.
Thank you. Nice talking to you.
Denise Brennan is the Work Less Party candidate in the riding of Vancouver Hastings. worklessparty.org is their website for the commentary. I'm Joseph Plana.